This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. First up, the cabinet was announced this morning. They're going to be sworn in next Monday. So we're going to be diving into what all of this means with more detail later. But to start off with, what can we glean about political alliances from all this?
So perhaps most importantly, because it was a very hotly watched post, there is not going to be a deputy prime minister. And this is very similar to what we saw with Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's initial cabinet before the current PM was sort of elevated to that post very shortly before that particular administration ended. There will, however, be four senior ministers, very familiar faces. For example, basically, Azmin Ali, Radzi Jidin, Hishamuddin Hussein, and Fadila Yusuf. So these are the people who are going to be occupying the senior minister post. And really, the similarities to the previous cabinet don't end there.
Yes, and that's something multiple people have brought up, right? Many similar faces, even holding similar portfolios. So really, more of the same in some ways. Some of the notable changes that we've seen are, of course, Health Minister Khairi Jamaluddin. He was previously the Science, Technology and Innovation Minister. Now he's been moved up to being Health Minister. And then in the Mosti post, we see Dr. Adhan Baba, who was initially Health Minister. So a little bit of a switcheroo there. Then other new faces in portfolios include Tan Sri Anwar Musa, holding the Communications and Multimedia Minister, Datuk Zuraida Kamarudin as Plantations and Commodities Minister, and Datuk Sri Taqiyuddin Hassan being made Energy and Natural Resources Minister.
I think that what we wanted to do in this part of the show, at least, before we look into what is arguably more important in terms of governance and how effective we can expect the cabinet to be, we wanted to look at what this might mean politically, what it might say about the kinds of conversations that were had leading up to the appointment of the cabinet, because I think that that's just something that everybody is hyper aware of at the moment, the fact that new alliances have to be formed, new political conversations are going on, and as well as some old ones. So we thought it would be good to look at the lay of the land and who falls where. So there are 32 ministers, including the Prime Minister, which is more or less the same size in many ways as the previous cabinet as well, 38 deputy ministers, totaling 70. And of that, there are 27 members of cabinet basically come from Barisan Nasional, UMNO specifically making up 30% of the cabinet. There are 32 members of from Perikatan Nasional, with Bersatu comprising 34% of the cabinet. Meanwhile, we have GPS, Gabungan Parti Sarawak, holding 9, PBS, Parti Bersatu Rakyat Sabah, holding 1, and of course, one independent appointee, Tengku Zafrul, 1.
So I think those numbers essentially say a fair amount about what the alliances or what it indicates about what the previous administration was and what we have now. And I think one of the reasons why people were waiting to see these cabinet appointees was to get some sort of indication as to what this prime minister and this administration felt their priorities were, but also where their loyalties lay. And I think that's what we're going to be looking at for this initial part of the segment, specifically where political alliances now stand now that the cabinet has been unveiled. We'd like to hear from you. What do you think of this new cabinet with many familiar faces? Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after this, we'll be discussing this further with Datuk Dr. Shamsul Amri Baharuddin, Director of the Institute of Ethnic Studies. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:12. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we are, of course, talking about the new cabinet with many familiar faces. We'd like to hear what you think about it. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're first going to look at what this means politically. So for that, we are joined by Datuk Dr. Shamsul Amri Baharuddin, who is Director of the Institute of Ethnic Studies. Dr. Shamsul, welcome to the show. I believe you're on mute, Dr. Shamsul.
Thank you very much.
So, what do you think about the allocations of ministerial positions to the different political parties in this new cabinet lineup?
I think we had already had a formula since 1959 because we have been coalition parties ruling our country. So, it's obvious that every party will be given a post. Like I remember MCA always had the finance ministry, and the MIC is about labor. So it's always there's almost a stereotype about who will hold the post. But this time is a bit different because the parties are not really parties like Barisan Nasional together registered with the same flag. So they are more like a strategic alliance or partners. Yeah? Now I'm your friend, tomorrow I'm not, you know, this kind of situation. The way, if you remember, the 15 people walk out on the Prime Minister before from UMNO, and they are now back in. So I think this is what we have to see, this fluctuation of support, which signals a couple of things. Like, for example, who knows, in the next 15 months, you know, they may change their mind. Yeah. So one of my friends said, we vote for one and we got four prime ministers, you know, sort of thing. So it's quite interesting. So the cabinet today is, for me, some call it a recycled cabinet, which I think a bit disrespectful. You change a bottle into a glass, you know, so it's not. It's basically a continuity cabinet. It's very obvious continuity, only for a couple of posts. And I want to see the cabinet, not in terms of clusters organized by Tan Sri Mahyudin before, but in terms of concentric circle. Who are the more important in the middle? And then the second layer and the third layer. And suddenly you see education is not in the middle because the impact of COVID is a bit like a ripple in the water if you throw a stone. So the impact of COVID is as a result, education has the is suffering the impact of COVID. So I think the core one is the economic ministries or economic-related ministries and health-related ministries. They are the, I think, about four or five of them, or ministers rather, yeah? And then, of course, the outlying ministries, I call them, like Perpaduan, National Unity, Youth and Sports, you know? So they're too important, but not as critical and intensified in their involvement. So I think that's how I see the arrangement. About the people, yeah, there are some of them, Naik Pangkat, I don't know, they got promoted like Khairi Jamaluddin from Kesihatan. Swapping lah, more like swapping rather than promotion. I think gaji the same. So so Adam goes to Kesihatan to Ministry of Science and Technology. And there are also other swaps, you know, like our Ministry of Youth and Sports. I don't know, because he didn't bring a gold medal, but back. So he is now promoted to a gold mine, I call it, because that ministry is a gold mine because it's a very rich place, you know. So people might not like what I say, but I think you give a reflection what I mean, yeah. And the rest is fine, but there is also a surprise. How come the Wanita Minister came back? Because we thought she would be going for holidays or something, you know, but then she's back now. And Dr. Noraini, who was supposed to be Minister of Higher Education, left crying, you know, so, you know, but now she's back. So there is some drama inside this too, I think, which we don't know, but we can guess.
So, some analysts have suggested that the lack of change in the cabinet lineup shows that perhaps the Prime Minister has limited influence in the government. What are your thoughts on this?
Oh, no. I think he's very influential in the sense that he has to make sure, because, you know, he comes from an UMNO, not the top echelon of UMNO. He's number three, you know. So the number one a Prime Minister would do in that position is to strengthen his position. So if there is an UMNO election, automatic choice. So he has to do that. So in order to that, he has to look after it. And the two very senior UMNO members, Tan Sri Noor and Shahdan, are in. I think these are the people who will look after, you know, so that no one is stepping him on the back, you know, in AMNO. So he has to have people to stabilize his position in AMNO. That only a prime minister can do, not a deputy. So he's now there. So if we think he's weak, well, his mannerism seems to be very relaxed, but politician has to be ruthless no matter what.
So, considering the large amount of AMNO representation in the cabinet, what does this tell us about AMNO's relationship with Bersatu?
I'm not concerned about the relationship. I'm concerned in Bersatu. There are three layers of Bersatu. One is original member, okay? Only two, Jidin and this lady, Minister of Women Affairs. These are the two original Bersatu that Mahathir picked. Okay, then there is the AMNO change to Bersatu, like Hamzah. And then Azmin, PKR, become Bersatu. So Bersatu is in itself, interestingly, full of colourful people. So that's why our friend, the Prime Minister, because we are a family now, so he's our friend. So he won't pick any of them because it create a trouble because these people are not, they don't see eye to eye. But they smile when they take photograph. That's necessary. But for me, I think our Prime Minister decided that no problem. I don't want any problem. So he learned. He learned from Mahyudin's model. And yet, it's not exactly Mahyudin's model because Mahyudin was not AMNO. Yeah, so that's how I see the situation now. Bersatu, yeah. There are 8 ministers, if I'm not mistaken. The rest 10, AMNO, 3 MCA and so on. So I think they're doing fine. They're doing fine.
So I want to bring up one specific name, Azmin Ali. Many had thought that he might be Deputy Prime Minister. He has instead been retained as Senior Minister for International Trade and Industry, so MITI. What does this say about his current position?
When an opposition tries to suggest a name, you already give her a death sentence, you know. For me, from my point of view, is she going to be a friend of the opposition? What more comes from the AP? So, AMNO will take not lightly all these things. So, Azalina, I know her personally. She's an excellent personality and also responsibility in the way she carries out her duties. But the Prime Minister don't want to have a perfect person. Yeah, you must know that a person that can serve both his interest and the country's interest. I don't know which one first, but anyway, this is the interesting part about politics.
Prof, I think you answered a question that we were going to ask you later about Azalina, but we want to also know about Azmin and the fact that people thought that he was potentially going to be Deputy Prime Minister, but now he's been retained as Senior Minister for International Trade and Industry. What about his position?
Sorry, my ear got problem. I think Azmin, as I said, you know, Bersatu has got three layers. Three different colors, even though it's called Bersatu. It's not difficult, it's not easy decision to decide. So I think Tan Sri Mahyudin have a hand in this. Because he knows Bersatu and he doesn't want Bersatu to be broken up because of the position. So but I think it's very wise at this moment to have nobody becoming the DPM. And obviously they want Bersatu to be the DPM.
So 9 MPs from Gabungan Parti Sarawak have been retained in the cabinet. Star MP Guandi Kohoi, who is former Deputy Tourism, Arts and Culture Minister, has been excluded. Is this significant?
Well, I think, you see, Sabah Sarawak, I just had a webinar yesterday on the history of formation of Malaysia, including Datuk Seri, who is now Minister of Law. He was formerly Minister of Entrepreneurship. So Sabah and Sarawak has a different calculation. It's not the same as the Semenanjung calculation. Because the Semenanjung party are clear, even if they're split and broken, originally all AMNO. Okay? That's very easy to understand. So the knowledge of the persons are a lot deeper than what we imagine. Yeah, because they're all in one party before. Huh? But in Sabah and Sarawak, they have a lot of advice from different groups of people. So I think this advice has been put across. Okay, let's now change somebody else to take over this position. So in that sense, yeah, because only 17 months ago. So, okay, you've got enough 17 months. Okay, the next 17 months, let this guy do it, you know. Sometimes you think they're all very serious, but no, sometimes they're just very straightforward and simple in the way they think, according to what is necessary at that time.
So, in closing, will Ismail Sabri's government be politically more stable than Muhyiddin's?
If we see their flaws, the crack, and what I call that, the broken pieces that we have seen now being glued. Now, it depends how strong the glue is. Yeah. And the glue has to do with with the position of the ministers and many other things, benefits that you can get. Now, probably after this, we will hear GLC being replaced and new guys. So all this will come in stages, okay? But one thing I'm confident is this. You may have any minister sitting in any minister in any position. It's the civil servant who makes the roadmap ready, who got the chair ready, who got the car ready, you know, who got the food ready. So I think the support of the civil service is fundamental in the future of this cabinet. So I think this is what's going to happen.
Dr. Shamsul, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
That was Datuk Dr. Shamsul Amri Baharuddin, Director of the Institute of Ethnic Studies, talking to us about the political alliances that are signaled from today's cabinet lineup. And we'd like to hear from you. What do you make of this new cabinet? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. I think we have time for perhaps one message. This is from Stephen.
Stephen says it's more like just a cabinet with some minor cleaning on the surface and some, not all, of the broken utensils cleared. But interestingly, the Ministry of Health is being led by a person who has a good track record but no medical degree. Looking forward to see how KJ leads this ministry. And yeah, you know, honestly, I think that is the ministry that's been getting the most news, partly because of the pandemic, partly also because of the minister, because his is a name that has come up so often in the last few weeks whenever we talk about people from the past cabinet who were seen to have done well, seen to have done their job. So I understand it. I did want to say, though, that in preparation for today's show, I did have a peek through our past ministers of health in our 64 years of existence. And actually, the whole minister of health being a doctor or somebody with a medical background is relatively new. We had, of course, Dr. Subramaniam, who held the post for quite some time, and then Dr. Zul, and then Dr. Adam Baba, but it's relatively new. Prior to that, it was more of a, I guess, a position like any other.
I think the frequency with which Khairi in particular has been brought up over the course of the last couple of weeks also indicates that sometimes it's a question of who is seen to have been performing, right? Now, whether you're happy with that performance or not, I think the last 17 months or so have shown, have had some people being at the forefront of issues a lot more than others. And I think Khairi Jamaluddin is certainly one of those people, particularly because of the pandemic and specifically because of the vaccination rollout, is someone that we have been able to, for better or worse, see how he does his job much more than a lot of others. Keep those thoughts coming. What do you think of the cabinet with the lineup? You know, not many new faces. What do you make of it? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now, to take you through to the news, some music.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.